morning, let's start with prayer. Dear God, open our eyes, our ears, and our heart so that we may seek your will and act accordingly. And God, may my words prove worthy of this esteemed congregation. This is really a simple sermon, simple message. Our politics are broken, and we are called as Christians to respond to that brokenness. Our politics are broken. They spew too much hate and not enough light. They build anger. They pitch one American against another. Our politics are broken. Now, I see three ways that we should respond to this brokenness. First, above all, we need to be a people of hope, a people of faith. Secondly, we need to be a warning prophetic voice. And thirdly, we need to be peacemakers, healing the bitterness and divisions in our country. The idea for this sermon was born last spring when my good friend Bill Scott sent me an email asking, why did I demonize Republicans? I was in the second page of a detailed analysis of all the evil that Republicans do and why they should be demonized, when suddenly the light bulb went off in my head. I do demonize Republicans. I do treat them as enemies. And it's a sin. And I need to repent of that sin. Jesus clearly calls for us to love our enemies. He calls, so this is a sin that I have to repent of. As the scripture says, I need first to look at the log in my own eye so maybe I can better see the speck of sawdust in my brother's eyes. And I will always be grateful to Bill helping me to see the light and calling me to repent of my sins. And the second seed for this sermon was a column in the New York Times where there was a line, when politics is more important than friendships, politics is too important. Or as I've always said, that people are more important than ideology. People are more important than theology. Our politics is broken, and we need to respond. Our politics is broken because we're all fallen humans. And winning becomes more important than doing the right thing. Imagine a political consultant as a devil whispering into a candidate's ears. Imagine the power of logic and scientific analysis that tells candidates what they need to do to win. So here's some of the things those voices say. It's all about the money. Without money, you can't win. If you don't have money, you're not important. If you're not spending time raising money, you're wasting your time. Go negative. It works. Demonize the other side. Hate the other side. Appeal to people's anger and fear. Because that's what's going to motivate them to give money. That's what's going to motivate them to vote. Campaign where your supporters are. Don't waste time going to Kansas or Southwest Virginia. There are no Democrats there. You're not going to get any votes. Stick to, you know, mind your own territory. I know when I've gone knocking door to door, you get lists. And the lists are carefully selected. And so that you can cover the most doors and you're going to get the people who are going to vote. And don't knock on a Republican door because you might talk to them and that would waste time and be unproductive. Create a black and white absolutist worldview. We're right. We have all the answers. We're never wrong. We never make mistakes. They're always wrong. Don't listen to them. It makes you seem weak and indecisive. These kind of voices are out there all the time. They're inculcated in both parties. I don't know how many emails I get saying, oh, these devil Republicans, look what they've done. Give money. You know, and it's just what it's done is put our country what I see as a very destructive path. Our politics are broken, and how do we respond? I think the first thing that we need to do is to respond that we are a people of hope. Our trust is in the Lord. He is with us. Do not give in to despair. Do not give in to hopelessness. But know that God is with us. When politicians try to make us afraid, we reject that fear. When they try to make us hate, think of the other as alien and strange and our enemies, we reject that. Because Jesus commanded us to love all people and to treat all people as brothers and sisters. When we are try to divide us into warring camps, we reach out to meet the other. We are called to welcome strangers in our midst. When politicians preach absolutes, we remember that we only see through a glass darkly. We may think we know of all the answers, but we need to listen, to learn from others. We need to be open to admit that we make mistakes and that we sin. Our politics are broken, and we are called to be a prophetic voice. The Bible has full of wonderful prophecies and prophetic voices, calling out to Israel to change, to repent of their ways and repent of their sins. And sometimes the Israelites listened, and sometimes they didn't. I think as a church, we have to call out our politics and say, this politics of hate and division, of these are our enemies, those people are the problem. We have to reject that. We have to say that if we continue down this ugly path, of pitching one against another, Democrats against Republicans, rural or urban, ethnic divisions, that this can destroy a country. We've got plenty of examples of it in the Bible, but we also have examples in recent history. We have places like Yugoslavia, where different ethnicities live side by side in peace and intermarried, and then their politics became divisive. Politicians said, hate those guys, they're different, they're ruining us. And they did it for their own personal gain, and they tore countries apart. And they led to civil war, they led to hatred and destruction. We need to be a prophetic voice saying, these kind of divisions, these kind of hatreds are not where we want to go as Americans. If we don't repent, if we don't change directions, if we don't pull together as one people, we can't fulfill the promise of America. We can't fill the promise of the wonderful world that God has given us. Yes, our politics are broken, and we are called to respond. We are called to be peacemakers. And as Roy mentioned, I go to Republican breakfasts, and I do that because I want them to know that most Democrats don't have pitchforks and tails. And I need to remember that Republicans aren't that way. And it's very strange that I'm on a Republican breakfast and it seems very much like a Democratic breakfast. We need more volunteers. Sign up. Help. And those terrible people, look at what they're doing. We need to get motivated. The devils are different. But in essence, the rhetoric is often the same. We need to reach out to people who are different from us. And in this wonderful country of ours where we have so much diversity, there are lots of different people to reach out to. And we have to remember that those differences aren't because they're evil. They're because they're different. And yes, there are evil people out there and evil things happen, but we're called to be a reconciling presence. You know, and it's important as we be in this dialogue, as we reach out to people that are different, that we do it not to convert them, not to make them like us, but so that we can understand and we can share the good news that we have. And if they choose to follow it, they can. And maybe they've got some good news too that we need to listen to also. Yes, our politics are broken, but our country isn't broken. When you hear the hateful rhetoric on TV and the talking heads yelling at each other and yelling past each other, that's not really what America is. There are evangelicals out there who probably will vote for Donald Trump, and yet they're in their communities greeting immigrants, being Christians, outreaching to people. You know, I don't think our politics are broken. The rhetoric is broken, but I don't think that really reflects where Americans are. I think Americans are in a better place, but we do need to be that, go back to being that prophetic voice, because if we allow our politics to continue this way, if we internalize it and it becomes who we are, that's when we are truly headed for destruction. And we think it can't happen here, but we should be prepared. I just, you know, like I say, our politics are broken, and we need to be the church. We need to be out there being that healing presence, reaching out to others. And as I summarize my sermon, I just really want to end with thanking Bill, because I saw myself, as I reflect back on that experience, I saw myself becoming an instrument of destruction. I had gotten wrapped up in that politics of hate, that they're the bad guys, I'm the good guys, we're right, they're wrong. And that's not where God wants me to be. That's not where God wants the church to be.